Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for August 10th, 2012.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
The air inside the canyon doesn't mix very well with the air above the canyon.
It's a little bit like pulling weeds. If you only cut the top of a weed off, the weed will grow back. So we need a way of getting at the roots.
Each sperm cell has a unique genome, and they're all different from each other.
Increased conspicuousness is one of the factors that makes copulation dangerous.
This week, when sex turns deadly, how green skyscrapers could trap pollutants, and flushing the HIV virus out of hiding. But first, Suzanne Bard learned why you're less like your siblings than you might think.
About half of your DNA comes from your father and half from your mother. But each sperm and egg has its own unique mix of genes, which helps explain the differences between siblings. Now, Stanford scientists have decoded the entire genome of 91 individual sperm from a single man. Biophysicist Stephen Quake says the project has revealed much more diversity in a male sperm than previously thought. For instance, his team found many places where genes mix in non-random ways as a sperm is being formed.
So it creates incredible diversity, and each sperm cell has a unique genome, and they're all different from each other.
In addition, the rate of new mutations between a man and his sperm was much higher than previous estimates.
That's another source of variation in your potential children. We measured typically 10 new mutations per sperm cell.
Quake says the findings shed light on the variety of human traits.
And helps us understand how genomes from unrelated people get woven together to create new members of the human race.
He says the research could also help lead to treatments for male reproductive disorders.
Thanks, Suzanne. With antiretroviral drugs, HIV patients can manage their infections, but there's still no cure. That's because today's drugs can't eradicate latent stores of the virus, which hide in the body but can activate later. Stanford University chemist Paul Wender is developing a way to flush those dormant viruses out of hiding so the antiviral drugs can attack them.
It's a little bit like pulling weeds. If you only cut the top of a weed off, the weed will grow back. So we need a way of getting at the roots. And that's essentially what we're doing in our research.
The key ingredients are synthetic variations on bryostatin, a molecule found in a mossy sea creature. These compounds activate an enzyme called protein kinase C, which in turn activates and releases dormant viruses. The work's still in the lab phase, but Wender says the approach may someday make it possible to completely wipe out an HIV infection. Next, animals have a strong drive to mate in order to pass on their genes. But as Suzanne reports, sex can sometimes turn deadly.
Sex can sometimes kill, according to sensory ecologist Stefan Greif of the Max Planck Institute for Ornithology in Germany. He says when houseflies mate, they emit a buzzing sound like this. Suspecting this might attract hungry bats, he and his colleagues recorded the sounds and played them back through speakers on the ceilings of barns, where both bats and flies congregate. Greif says, sure enough, the bats tried to attack the speakers as if they were tasty flies. But he says in the absence of the sounds, the flies were invisible to the bats.
People have been wondering for 85 years now if copulations might pose a risk to animals. So we now showed for the first time that increased conspicuousness is one of the factors that makes copulation dangerous.
He says infrared videos revealed that 5% of the flies are actually killed when they attempt to mate. But the flies have either not adapted to the bat's predation, or, more likely, the benefits of mating still usually outweigh the potential costs.
Thanks, Suzanne. About 80% of the cost of vaccinations is due to refrigeration, which is especially onerous when the drugs are shipped to developing countries. But now, scientists think silk proteins could save billions of dollars by preserving antibiotics and vaccines at room temperature. This according to Rosemary Hunziker, program director at the National Institutes of Health. Researchers at NIH and Tufts University found that the silk proteins protect the drug molecules from degrading.
What this innovation does is it allows us to keep these products at room temperature or even under very hot storage conditions without a lot of moisture, and that allows us to ship them and store them under just about any condition that we like.
In fact, some antibiotics in the study survived temperatures of up to 140 degrees Fahrenheit with minimal impact on their function. As for what happens when it's time to deliver the drugs, other research suggests the silk could either be quickly dissolved or left intact to help the drug release more slowly. Planting grass, trees, and other greenery can make cities more inviting. But a new study suggests it may also reduce air pollution. Justin Warner has that story.
Making concrete jungles greener could cut some kinds of air pollution 8 times more than previously thought. This according to researchers at Lancaster University in England. Atmospheric scientist Thomas Pugh, now at the Karlsruhe Institute of Technology in Germany, led the work.
What we looked at specifically was the effect of street canyons. So street canyons are streets effectively enclosed by buildings on either side. So it mimics a natural canyon. And the way that these canyons work aerodynamically is that they tend to trap the air inside them so that the air inside the canyon doesn't mix very well with the air above the canyon, kind of in the free atmosphere, if you like.
That traps pollutants like nitrogen dioxide and particulate matter inside the canyon, but it also makes it easier for grass, ivy, or other green surfaces to soak them up right there compared to plants in more open spaces.
Studies that were previously carried out considered reducing pollutant concentrations in the whole bottom layer of the atmosphere, which varies a lot in height, but we tend to say at a first estimate it's about 1,000 meters deep during the day. So these trees are reducing pollutant concentrations over a very deep level of the atmosphere, and consequently their effect on concentrations is diluted across that large area of the atmosphere. Now, if you put vegetation within a canyon, which is much, much smaller, instead of being 1,000 meters deep, it might be 20 meters deep, then you're working on a much smaller volume of air. So if you absorb the same amount of air pollutants from that volume of air, you get a much larger drop in concentration.
According to the model Pugh's team developed, covering street canyon walls and roofs with greenery could reduce nitrogen dioxide by up to 40% and particle pollution by up to 60%. That's enough to significantly improve urban air quality, which could reduce public health risks.
Thanks, Justin. Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, why planning often backfires and why buying larger quantities doesn't always mean a better deal. Until then, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, we'll send you a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.